Grace to you and peace from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We've heard the line before, in movies, maybe even in our own life. And usually in the movies, it's a comedic line of some sort, or it takes place in some sort of romance, and, well, usually it's to make a point by somebody, blah, 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 whatever. But the line I'm talking about is, that's what you came back for? That's what you came for? Because usually it's so insignificant, at least to the person that is saying the line. It's like a pencil or a pen or maybe a small picture of some sort, something that looks insignificant to the person that isn't going back for it. You see, in our text for today, we find out who Christ came for. Who Christ came for Christmas, but also on this Epiphany. Now, before we get into the real meaning of Epiphany, we need to understand that Christ comes first for the Jews. That's undisputed. They were God's chosen people. They were His. From Israel on, or Abraham on, that was the people of God. Nobody else, minus a few Gentiles here or there, but the chosen people were Jews. Yes, I know. At the beginning of time, there were no Jews or Hebrews or anything else for that matter. There was only Adam and Eve. But it isn't too long after that that Abraham shows up and is promised something. Promise that he will be the father of many. But it is about those many that the Old Testament discusses time and time again. And usually it's showing a rise and a fall. It usually takes place time and time again. Now this points to two things. First, that man is sinful. He falls time and time again. That's not news, even though people try to say that it's news at 7 o'clock or whenever it is. But it isn't news that man is fallen by nature now, that he is corrupt, that we are corrupt as people, that you sin daily and much, whether you realize it or not, for you are corrupted from conception on. And it should be something we are ashamed about because, well, we're supposed to be better than that. But the truth is we are sin-filled. Original sin corrupts us. But it shows that the world, yes, even those then who call themselves God's people are sinful. Even the people God chose are sinful. And so it shows us then the second thing, that there needs to be a redeemer, somebody to step in for all sinners, even those of God's chosen. You and I know that to be Christ, that he came to redeem man from his fallenness, the cross and the empty tomb especially. But that gets us into why are we celebrating Epiphany? What does all of this mean? Well, first, let's look at the word Epiphany. The word Epiphany means a revealing or a revelation. Now, why didn't we just call it Revelation Day? I don't know. We call it Epiphany now. At least, I didn't come up with the title, so you can don't blame me. Blame the other guys. But in our case, the Epiphany reveals something about Christ. That who he is for isn't just Jews or Hebrews, but for Gentiles as well. You see, it shows that Christ is for you and for me as well. I'm of German descent and we're stubborn. Not Jewish. And so without Epiphany, the church, 99% of the church doesn't exist because Jews are the minority of the church does not exist without Epiphany. With all the Gentiles across the world, all the non-Jewish people across the world who make up the church. For these wise guys, if you will, they come from the East. East is known as the wilderness, place that nobody really ever wanted to go to. Yet these magi, these wise men, show up because they know something special has happened. In fact, a star had shone brightly, showing them the road to that different thing. And so the Magi go, they look up Christ, and they go to him to worship him. Now, the context of our gospel reading for today, you must come to understand that the part that comes after really should have been included as well, if you ask me anyway, because it talks about how Herod kills the innocents. Those under two, he sends his soldiers to murder. But what this demonstrates to us is that there is no shortage of those who wish to see Jesus dead, therefore killing the message of Christ crucified. You and I know that the world is offended by the gospel because the gospel by its very nature is offensive because it's too exclusive. It is very subjective, forgiveness, life, and salvation in the end. It is meant for all people, don't get me wrong, and we are to spread that news. But there is a subjective part to our faith. And so just as Herod, those many years ago, tried to stop the message spreading then, to stop Christ from doing what he needed to do, so the world does today. Yet, with all of that said, Christ lives for you. Christ died for you. Christ rose for you. Christ ascended for you. And Christ will return for you. It is from the day that he was born. The day... I like the competition, don't get me wrong. I love competition. You brought your child to church. Yay, church. Yay, parents. I'm not offended in any way, shape, or form. Just saying. Because Christ even lives for that child who is trying to yell loud so that you do not hear the message that God has sent me to give to you today. That you are forgiven. That you are righteous by Christ. Because in this revealing of this epiphany, God reveals his Son to be your Savior. He reveals him to be your Redeemer. It's somewhat funny to me, if you will. Maybe it's a geek theologian thing, I don't know. But the term King of the Jews is used here. Used by the wise guys, the wise men, coming from the East. They're looking for him. And we know why, because he is the Christ. But you may remember those words from somewhere else. The words that hang above Christ's cross, mocking him, making fun of him, just as everybody is spitting upon him, throwing insults at him, they're using the same term, King of the Jews. What they don't get is that with those words proclaimed, it is actually confessing who Christ is. That he is, yes, King of the Jews, but then that he is also King of Gentiles. On Epiphany, when the wise guys show up, you are assured that Christ is for you. Yes, we can talk about Pentecost all we want, but in the end, even Pentecost, they could have been sent just to the Jews, but they weren't. And that's the Epiphany message for us today. That Christ came for you to forgive you all your sin by his death, and declare you righteous before his Father in his resurrection. That is his kingship. That is his kingdom. And so we join in with the wise men as the wise. Those who have been enlightened with his gifts, called by the gospel. Those who are baptized into him and his gifts. See, God has made you a part of the wise men. He has made you a magos, or a magi, or as we like to call them, magi in English. That is who you are now because of Christ. You are wise beyond the years of the world. It's all because of the Word made flesh for you. The nice thing is he doesn't stay silent. He speaks. Maybe not face to face, but through the word, the consolation of the brethren, the word of the pastor especially. For he's been sent to give you the wisdom of Christ. And that wisdom is that you are forgiven of all your sin, even the original sin. That the disease that you suffer from will come to an end one day. And that in that, you are righteous. Not because of what you have done, but because of what Christ lived, died, and rose, and ascended for you. It is good that you are here today because you now hear that word, that declaration of who you are now in Christ. You are a wise guy. Yes. You came for the wise guys, we ask Christ. And he answers with a resilient, it is even for them that I have come. For Jesus comes not for the righteous, but for sinners. For those who struggle with whatever it might be, your own thoughts, something physical. For Christ is for the suffering. Christ is for the sinner. Christ is for you, dear sinners. The reason Christ came was to release you so that you would be free. To be free in him and not have to live in the bondage of your sin, your thoughts, or your sufferings. That all this suffering, Jesus tells us, will come to an end one day. Where you will be completely delivered from evil in this valley of sorrow. That's Christ's promise to you this day as with every day. And so now live in that freedom, that forgiveness, that true life, the life beyond our eyes, the life that Christ freely gives to you, Gentiles, to you, dear Trinity Lutheran Church, to you, those who are visiting. Christ is for you and will always be for you and to heaven itself beyond the last day. In Jesus' name. Amen.